Today, our show will be joined in studio with hip-hop artist Peter Bones and talking about the G20, music, and migrant justice. At 6:30 p.m., OCAP Radio will be taking the mic and bringing you the latest news from the frontline struggles of poor people right here in Toronto, including an interview with Raul Bourbano, the brother of Ilian Bourbano, who was arrested at the special diet protest on July 21st. But first, some headlines.
And the headlines today come courtesy in part to Al Jazeera English and Democracy Now. So today we start with a victory. In New York State, a long-standing struggle for domestic workers' rights won a critical victory when New York Governor Patterson signed the United States' first Bill of Rights for domestic workers. The law corrects what Governor calls a historic injustice when workers first gained the right to a minimum wage, among other basic rights. In 1937, farm and domestic workers were exempted because Southern Democrats, who were needed to pass the law, disagreed with the minimum wage to the, quote, hired help. There are over 2,000 nannies, maids, and elderly caregivers in New York who until now have worked in the American homes while receiving no legal protection. The workers, most of whom are women of color and migrant women, have been subjected to unregulated wages, long hours without overtime, no rights to holidays, benefits, or legal protection against harassment, and firing without notification or severance, even after long years of service.
Only months after the catastrophic BP oil spill, another oil spill and gas platform in the U.S. Gulf of Mexico has exploded, setting off a blaze and a small oil spill. Workers were forced to dive into the sea as fire engulfed the platform off the coast of Louisiana on Thursday. Massive plumes of gray smoke billowed into the sky as rescuers rushed to the site. The incident ignited fresh criticism of the oil and gas industry as the region struggles to recover from the environmental disaster caused by a deadly explosion on a BP offshore rig in April.
Canada's Immigration Minister Jason Kenney is attending a France-hosted meeting in British Columbia this week that has been described as an, quote, anti-Roma gathering, coming on the heels of President Nicolas Sarkozy's controversial initiative to expel Roma migrants. That, in turn, has even led to criticism from some Liberal MPs like Ujjal Dosanjh, the former BC Premier and Federal Cabinet Minister who has arranged to visit Roma camps and meet with the senior French officials and rights groups in mid-September. Quote, by attending this meeting, Mr. Kenney is sending a message that he agrees with the far-right policies of President Sarkozy, Dosanjh told Post Media News Friday. France, according to Dosanjh, is violating European Union laws by deliberately targeting Roma and should therefore be openly condemned by the Canadian government.
In Georgia, a deal has been reached in an impasse over the provision of life-saving dialysis treatment to a group of undocumented migrants. Last year, management at Atlanta's Grady Memorial Hospital closed its outpatient dialysis clinic to cut costs. The move left 60 uninsured undocumented migrants in danger of losing the care they need to stay alive. 13 patients accepted offers to be moved to their home country of Mexico and receive 3 months of paid treatment, but five of them have since died. Although details remain unclear, Grady officials say the new agreement will provide the remaining patients with the dialysis treatment they need. The treatment would mark an exception to the recent federal health care law, which maintains the federal ban on government-funded health care for undocumented immigrants.
The United States federal government has filed another lawsuit over the anti-immigrant crackdown in Arizona. The Justice Department says a group of Phoenix-area community colleges discriminated against non-U.S. citizen job applicants by forcing them to submit more documentation that was required by law. The case comes less than 2 months after the Justice Department sued Arizona over its controversial anti-immigrant law. Also in Arizona, human rights groups have warned this year could be the deadliest for migrants attempting to cross over from Mexico. Officials in the Pima County say at least 170 bodies have been found this year, on pace to surpass a record of 218 found in 2007. Kevin Riley of the group No More Debts said migrant aid groups have been cut off from some of the most dangerous areas. Kevin Riley further adds, quote, it's frustrating because the debts are going up, but we don't know where people are moving. And then when we look at the map of where the debts are in the desert, especially in the Tucson sector, the majority are on land that we can't go to, end quote. July was the worst month so far with 59 deaths, more than half from the heat-related causes.
Here in Toronto, a $115 million class action lawsuit has been filed on behalf of the more than 1,100 people who were arrested as well as detained during the G20 summit in June. According to lawyer David Mitinac, the 41-page brief to the Ontario Superior Court of Justice asked the court to declare that the constitutional and civil rights of 1,100 people, some of whom were arrested, were violated during the summit. The suit names the Police Service Boards of Toronto and Peel and the Attorney General. The class action has not been certified, and none of his claims has yet been proven in court, but we wait for that day.
After more than 4 years of negotiation, the Huron-Bendat Nation are on the brink of repatriating the bodies of thousands of ancestors that were robbed from their graves years ago by archaeologists, studied and then stored in crumbling cardboard boxes at the University of Toronto. Quote, "There are a couple thousand of our people waiting to return home," end quote, Huron-Wendat Clan Chief Gaetan Siouy said Thursday. "When we went to see them, we almost cried to see our ancestors lying in dusty boxes for so long. The plundering of sacred gravesites, many in the GTA, and the casual storage of their ancestors is a painful part of Huron-Wendat history, and they look forward to the day the remains can be reinterred," he said. Quote, "The mission is clear," Siouy added. "We want to work with the university to repatriate the remains and rebury them in their place in a respectful manner," end quote.
A new study released in the United States shows that the CEOs who fired the most workers during the economic recession have also taken home the highest pay. According to the Institute for Policy Studies, the CEOs of the 50 corporations responsible for the worst layoffs were paid an average of $12 million, 42% more than the average for the Standard & Poor's Fortune 500. The study covered the period from November 2008 to April of this year. For 72% of companies, layoffs were announced at the same time as earnings were increasing.
And finally, in related news, new figures show the nation's banks have reduced lending last quarter while seeing their highest profit jump in 3 years. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation reported Tuesday that bank profits were up 21% to nearly $22 billion. But lending over the same period fell 1.3%, or by about $96 billion. The exception was community banks or credit banks, which slightly increased lending during the same period.
So that's it for our headlines on No One Is Equal Radio, Word of Mouth News. We're now going to throw to a really important track. It's called the G20 Anthem. It's by Peter Bones. And after we play this track, he'll be joining us in the studio, and we'll be able to talk a lot more about it. But definitely enjoy this track, G20 Anthem, Peter Bones.